Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
And good afternoon, everybody. Welcome, welcome. Well, do you remember the international best-selling book? In fact, it was number one New York Times best-selling book here in the U.S. called French Women Don't Get Fat. Well, apparently they don't get facelifts either. Later today, we'll talk with author Mireille Giuliano, who says she doesn't believe in aging gracefully, but she does believe in aging with attitude. And that's coming up around 12:35 today. But first, I'm very pleased to continue our series of conversations on healing with the arts in various forms. And I'm super pleased to welcome back someone who knows firsthand what it's like to heal yourself with the arts, as she quite literally painted her way out of severe depression. And today we're going to talk about creating sacred space in our lives. My guest is Dr. Mary Rockwood Lane. She's a professor, painter, and nurse, and co-founder and co-director of the Arts in Medicine Process at University of Florida, Gainesville. She also founded the university's Artist in Residence program. She's currently associate professor of nursing at University of Florida College of Nursing, where she teaches creativity and spirituality in healthcare in the undergraduate and graduate program. She's doing ongoing research into creativity and spirituality at end of life with cancer patients, and her PhD thesis focused on the patient's experience of art and healing. And if the name sounds familiar to you, it's because we spoke with Dr. Mary Rockwood Lane back in November. If you want to check conversationslive.net, you can find the podcast there. We talked about her book, 12-week program to heal yourself and your community, and that's called Healing with the Arts. And she co-authored that with Dr. Michael Samuels. And today we're going to talk, as I said, about creating sacred space in our lives. Dr. Mary Rockwood Lane, welcome to the show.
Hello, it's great to be here again.
Well, I'm glad to have you here, and I know you're coming to Seattle this week, so we'll talk about that before the end of our segment today. But I want to start off with something that I read on your website, which said that you literally, you know, painted your way out of a severe depression. Very unusual thesis that you took, and I think that's a great sign that education is expanding its thought in creativity and spirituality in the medical field. So tell us a little bit about how you got involved in that, how you created, what was going on with you when you were in that place of severe depression?
Well, it was one of those experiences in my life. I was a young mother. I had two small children, and my husband left me. And I was devastated at that time that I was going through this separation and this divorce. And what happened for me is it's if something inside me just, I could not really get a handle on cope with the situation. Everything in my life that I had worked for or believed in was shattered. And I got so sick. I got emotionally and physically sick to where I became really unable to function. And it was a terrible crisis, and I was in terrible pain. And it wasn't until I had tried different things, gone to different therapies, but it wasn't until a friend of mine who was an artist invited me to her studio. And she said, you know, Mary, I know you're having a really hard time, and I know you love the artists and arts, but you've never painted. And I said, well, of course I can't paint. And she goes, Mary, go ahead and let's just, you know, go through my studio and just explore and start painting. And I decided to try oils because they were very gooey and they were beautiful and they were luscious. And I started painting these horrible portraits of this painful, the woman in pain. It was like really scary, but it was extremely cathartic. And I ended up painting, and I became so immersed in it and enthralled. And for 6 months, I had never painted before. I started painting, and I became like really excited about painting. And I was painting these emotions that I really couldn't handle, but I had them on a canvas, and I was getting them out of me. And it was this incredible cathartic experience. And I discovered how powerful are when we tap into our own creativity, even if we're in pain or suffering, it can we can create something that just comes through us and it releases it.
Yes, it is. For me, of course, it would be writing. You know, for somebody else, it might be sculpting or cooking or whatever taps into them.
And it was amazing because I discovered this and I realized I was a nurse and I wanted to think, well, if this is possible with me, it's obviously possible. We'll bring it into the hospitals. And patients started making art and families started making art and staff started making art. And I just realized the power of creativity. And it was this, like, we tap into something in ourselves that is truly a vehicle for our healing and transformation.
Mm, that's a wonderful story. And a wonderful career evolved around that. And I know you, I know you've helped many, 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 many hundreds of people, if not thousands. So, and I know that sacred, creating sacred space is something you really believe in. And I think this is incredibly important on a number of different levels. Joseph Campbell remains one of my all-time favorite mythologists. Well, my absolute all-time favorite mythologist, actually. I think his work is unsurpassed. But he says your sacred space is where you can find yourself again and again and again. So tell me how you would define your sacred space.
Well, you know, one of the most important, even in the book, I talk about creating sacred space in your life and making that a sanctuary for you to tap into your own creativity. And I talk about that because one of the ways we have to do this is give ourselves the space in a way that energetically holds us. Like, for example, if you have a place in your home or a studio space or somewhere where you can go and dwell within and create this beautiful sacred place, one of the things that we can do, like, for example, in the hospitals, we create in the healing environments, you know, what in your environment can you create and put there that is really beautiful and healing? In Japan, for example, beauty is revered as a healing modality. Just creating beauty and balance and sacred space in your life will create an opportunity for you healing. So when we when I talk about sacred space, I, for example, in my own personal life, I wake up every morning and I have this beautiful little altar and I've collected these very sacred objects that I've gone from all over the world. And some of them I understand the meaning of and some of them they're just beautiful sacred objects that are from another culture that I could feel their energy and I place them on my altar. And for example, every morning I get up and I have a little beautiful singing bowl there and I ring my singing bowl, which brings in sound, this sound that sort of centers me. And it's almost become a trigger for me when I wake up in the morning and I go, I'm about to start my busy day. I go and I have this beautiful singing bowl and I tap it three times. And then I have this altar where, you know, sometimes I'll light incense, sometimes I'll light a candle, sometimes I just pause. Sometimes I reflect on something in my life, like an intention for that day that I want to create for myself, and I create this sacred space. But I think it's even more than just a location. For example, when you talk about healing with the arts, I really believe that you can create a sacred space in your entire home because you can heal with the arts by, you know, sometimes dancing in your home and singing in your home and making your home beautiful and putting up your own artwork and, you know, celebrating other people's artwork, you know, where your home is your sanctuary or your office is your sanctuary. And this is really one of the ways in which we can truly use art in a very tangible way in our lives.
I'm glad you brought that up because when I was preparing for the show, I was thinking, boy, I don't really have a sacred space. And then I thought, well, that's because I really have tried to make my home a sanctuary in its entirety. Okay, the kitchen cabinets aren't my choice. It's an older house. But it's the things you put into it, the colors, the textures, the feeling. And then I have a couple of little sacred, you know, spots where I put my my little I'm not Buddhist, but I love Buddhist statues.
Right.
And I put those around and I'll rub the belly in the morning, that kind of stuff.
Well, it's what's beautiful about it is think about things in your home or in your office that actually bring you pleasure, actually bring you the joy inside your heart of deep appreciation and gratitude to be able to enjoy that. One of the things that I love is going out in nature. And I have, you know, windows where I spend and I enjoy the nature. And, you know, it's something that we have to actually make time for.
Yes.
We actually have to pause. You know, we have so many opportunities just to take a deep breath, pause for a minute, look at the sunset, because there are sunsets every day. And sometimes we miss them. But some days make it a point to capture these moments of beauty in these sacred landscapes that are all around you.
I'm lucky enough to live on the Tacoma Narrows down south, just south of here. And this summer, when I was in town, I made sure I went down every single night and captured the sunset. So I have a gazillion photographs.
That's so beautiful. And Seattle has so many beautiful landscapes and vistas.
Yes.
All around.
Oh,
it. So
beautiful.
It's magnificent.
Yeah. Yeah. And even if it was only for 5 minutes, I might have been working at my desk and suddenly look up and, oh, God, the sun's about to set. And I just rush out with my camera. It's just a moment to take for yourself.
And those are the moments that make our life beautiful.
Yes.
And those are the moments in which we can heal and deepen our relationship with the beautiful environment that's
right.
all around us all the time.
Right. I also had a tree, which was a tree that had fallen, and it made a great armchair down on the beach. And I would love to go sit in that and just watch the sunset, but unfortunately somebody thought it would be fun to burn it, so it's no longer there. I have to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about how we can start creating that sacred space for ourselves. And, you know, maybe we need to create it for somebody else. So we'll talk about that too. My guest is Dr. Mary Rockwood Lane. Her book is Healing with the Arts, co-authored with Dr. Michael Samuels. They've written a lot of books together. It's called Healing with the Arts. And we will be right back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org.
If you love dogs, tune in to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes, live every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. We'll talk about everything dog and interview authors, experts, and amazing organizations, both locally and nationally. And don't even get me started on the pet food industry. I'm Julie Forbes. Find us online at www.dogradioshow.com and also as a free podcast on iTunes. The Dog Show with Julie Forbes, an evolved perspective on life with dogs.
OMG! Grammar abuse is no LOL! Hire a copywriter today and make sure your business communications rise above the crowd and deliver the results you need. Call 800-495-7617 today. BTW, IMHO, copywriters rule. Call 800-495-7617. BFN!
Hi, this is Vicky St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772.
Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Follow me on Twitter at Vicky St. Clair.
Lewis and Clark would be proud. We're exploring new territory on the air every day right here on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Sacred, holy,
And welcome back, everyone. Eric, as usual, has found magnificent music for us to fit the topic we're talking about, which is creating sacred space in our lives. And I want to ask you, Mary, what's the favorite thing? What's your favorite thing about doing this kind of work, working, healing with the arts?
What is my favorite thing? My favorite thing actually is when I'm involved with people who are doing this work, healing with the arts, I experience the awe of being witness to the beautiful creativity that someone expresses in their lives. What I am witnessed when I'm teaching or I do workshops, it's as if when someone starts making art, it's to me as if something inside of them illuminates, and you see almost as if their spirit and the real, truly authentic presence that they are, that to me is incredibly beautiful and almost makes me get goosebumps when someone shares something of themselves that even they, when they express it, they're like, they're almost at awe with the beauty that they express from within themselves. That is my favorite part. It's as if the mystery just becomes known, and it's just like a miracle.
I love it. I love it. My guest, of course, is Dr. Mary Rockwood Lane, her book, Healing with the Arts. And this is a 12-week program to heal yourself and your community. And we did talk about this in November. The podcast is on the website, conversationslive.net. But we're talking about creating your sacred space today. And I wanted to ask you, Mary, if we have no idea where to begin with this, what do you recommend to people?
Well, I recommend if to create sacred space in your home or in your life or in your office, find somewhere that is in your life that may be that's very accessible to you, that's there every day, and create a space by making it more beautiful, by bringing in photographs, flowers, sacred objects or meaningful objects, a special rock, something that creates an environment. What you're doing is creating an environment outside of yourself that you are, that reflects who you are, how you feel. Also, sometimes making, like one of the simplest ways I create sacred space when I come home from a very busy day and I'm making dinner is I put on some beautiful music and I light candles. Mm. And suddenly my whole mood becomes like this, I just sort of settle into it. And it feels more, it just feels quieter, it feels sweeter, it feels less stressful. So these are really easy ways. And the other thing, if you want to begin to tap into your own creativity, make a place in your life with a journal, a place where you can set aside time, where you can write in your journal or draw in your journal, where there's a place in which you can see nature or just go for walks in nature, or even create a sacred space every day by going to a walk to your favorite tree or walking through, you know, a destination where you might walk to a river's edge or down to the lake or down to the sea. These are places that you can find in your life that become accessible to you and you create meaning.
Yes, yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to share when you said, you know, something that creates meaning. I remember when I was going through a divorce and I'd gone back to England and my mother kind of didn't want to let me go, you know, being a mom.
Yes,
and
of course.
She said, I want to buy you something special. I said, I don't need anything. I'd just like a teapot to take back to America. Well, she bought me the most beautiful, I selected it, but she bought it for me.
Uh-huh.
Most beautiful teapot with its own little cups. And I call that my special moments teapot. And
that's beautiful.
I do save it for special moments. I don't use it every day. And for some reason, I do that and I light my candles and it just has a very soothing, calming effect.
It is. And another place that's really powerful to create sacred space, and I use it a lot when I do guided imageries in the book, is there's a place inside of ourselves where sometimes if we close our eyes and imagine a place within ourselves that we actually love to be, a place where you can go inside the inner world and create a beautiful landscape in which you feel at home and that is your own sanctuary. And that is another place that we can cultivate, you know, dwelling in sacred space, but inside the inner world of our own imagination. And we can return to that place and we can have a whole beautiful sanctuary in our inner world.
Yes. I talked with Rivenna Sharma a few weeks ago. Her book is called Recipes for a Sacred Life. And she talked about one of her friends who had a room that was just almost empty. But the emptiness, she said, invited me to cleanse and clear my mind, to empty my mind. And then when I asked her about her sacred space, she said, well, it's almost like an alcove. I walk past it many times and don't even notice it. But when I go sit there, something magical happens.
Yes. My sacred space is I have this little altar and I have this living room. And, you know, sometimes in living rooms, we don't really go there very often. But I have this incredibly busy life. And I go and I have all paperwork and everything. And I come into my house and I'm putting stuff here and there. But this place in my living room, it's like I've created all these sacred objects. And it's so beautiful. And I go in there and there's just a stillness in this room, and I realize it's my sanctuary.
So the bottom line is whatever works for you, music, plants, colors, textures, indoors, outdoors, whatever works for you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. And then we create these spaces in our lives, and we also participate in how we can create sacred space. For example, and I'm a nurse, so how can we create these healing spaces for other people?
Yes, yes. And I just want to, before we move on, I want to talk about how we create space for somebody who's end-of-life passage. But I want to just ask, first of all, because I think this is an important point. In your book, you have a whole chapter on finding your essence. And sometimes in the business of day-to-day life and, you know, meeting objectives at work and rushing the kids around, we can kind of lose the essence of who we are. And I think it's important to reconnect with that before we get our as we're building our sacred space, because we want to make sure it works for us.
Yes. And sacred space is a place in which you kind of breathe into it. You breathe into it and when we talk about your essence, I'm really talking about what in your life resonates with you and you feel a centeredness and a sense of really being deeply connected. And that's what I talk about in the book, is one of the things is tapping into your heart, in your heart's intelligence, and where in your life are you expressing and really being authentically who you truly want to be, and finding the peace and joy and essence of the expression of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And that sometimes we begin to find it in these places in our lives where we are created. We are dwelling in a sacred environment, like being in a place where you can just be quiet and connect not only to a sense of peacefulness, but to connect to a sense of maybe pain that you might be having or sadness you might be having or just emotional feelings, and just holding those feelings and letting them be. And one of the things about being creative in this space is allowing yourself it's like a river. We're like rivers of energy that we're always changing, we're always moving. And sometimes finding these sacred environments where we can really be the tumultuous experience of ourselves, and that then it just comes and it rises and it's like a storm, and then it goes and it's a peaceful day, and then it's, you know, we just allow ourselves to be fluid.
Yes, love it. I love it. I know you do a lot of work with end-of-life patients, and having the right kind of environment for that, I think, is critical. One of the issues that we, my brother, sister, and I had to deal with my mother was that something happened at the hospital which did not create that sacred space for her. And it's very difficult you can't do anything about it after the fact. But if we have the choice and we're with our loved ones, how do we help create that sacred space for them?
I think it's really important that when you're attending someone who's facing the end of their life, is that you really communicate with what it is someone might want at that time, because everybody's very different of what they want. When my father was passing away, you know, we have ideas of what kind of things they may like, but then my mother didn't want me to bring in the, you know, a different things. So I think it's really asking them what they want and creating an environment. One of the things at the end of life, people are beginning to disconnect. They're disconnecting, and they're moving in between worlds, where they're moving out of life that they've been fully participating in, into dwelling in a space that's in between. And this in-between world, where we want to make connection and maintain the beauty of our connection and really create powerful meaning, there also needs to be a freedom for the person who is facing the end of their life, has freedom to go in and out, and there's a quietness. And also creating an environment that they are comfortable in, have inviting people that they want to have there, that they love and they want to be in their presence. Because some of the things at end of life is that we feel things energetically. There's an energy field that we want to make sacred and calming and beautiful. So the passage is, in fact, a sacred, calm, peaceful transition. So this energy with, you know, light, sound, because one of the things that happens in a hospital is there's noise and there's activity and people are talking, or people are talking over someone. It really is important to create a space that is really focused and intentionally what the other person wants.
Yes, I think that's so important. That we connect with them on that, because my father loved music his whole life, loved to sing. And they were piping music into his private room at the hospice. And it's not what he wanted. So he wanted that silence.
He wanted that silence.
Yeah.
Yes, a friend of mine who was a drummer, who was, she was a frame drummer, and she was a very famous frame drummer, and she said, "I don't want any drumming. I drummed my whole life. I want peace now." And the other thing I noticed when we created a space for her, she wanted to be by the ocean, so she came to the ocean, and I put her bed where she could see the ocean, and she no longer could walk to the ocean anymore. She could walk to the window, and we could open the door, and she could feel that sea air coming in her room and just opening all the doors to where she could hear the sea, she could feel the sea, she could see it, and that created an environment where she and people came in one at a time, and we just brought in flowers and brought her the most beautiful, you know, delicious food, because she still was eating, you know, really making it to where it was pleasurable for her at this point in her life. And she made choices of what she wanted and what she didn't want.
Well, that's a wonderful gift. A wonderful gift. I know we're almost at the end of our segment, Mary, and I know you've written a lot of books on this topic with Dr. Michael Samuels. And I know you're coming out to Seattle this Wednesday, I believe, East West Bookstore. Tell us what you're going to be doing out there.
I'm going to be talking about the book and talking about the 12-week program. And really, like, you know, it's, I'm going to be doing some readings from the book and telling stories of people who've used this in their lives and created a very powerful healing journey for themselves. So I'm going to be sharing stories, conversation. It's going to be a conversation of stories. And also I invite people who are interested to come, who are interested in exploring how they could begin this in their own personal lives.
And many people up here, many of our listeners are healers themselves. And in that profession, I'm imagining that would be a good place for them to go talk about this too.
Oh, yes. And what the book is anyone can do this in their professional practice. I teach at University of Florida, and counselors and nurses and medical students and therapists and massage therapists, anyone who's interested in exploring their tool chest of how to bring people into the light of their own healing and add, you know, facilitate their journey, this is what the book is about. It's a very simple book that would allow someone who's working with the other people, working with their own clients, to be able to integrate some of the activities.
Great. And a final quick question. You've been doing this work quite a long time now. What is the one thing you know now that you'd wished you'd known when you started out working healing with the arts?
What is the one thing I wish I had known? Well, I don't know what that is. Actually, I think the incredible piece of this work that I've done in 20 years is that I really am amazed at what the unknown, like within every person, there is an unknown within ourselves that we can open up the doorway and it can be expressed, very much like what Joseph Campbell was saying. We have unbelievable gifts within us, and to know what they are, open the doorway to our own hearts, to our own inner worlds, the gifts are just infinite.
Dr. Mary Rockwood Lane, thank you. Always a pleasure talking with you. The book is called Healing with the Arts, and you are going to be at East West Bookstore Wednesday night, this coming Wednesday night at 7, I believe, till 8
yes.
p.m., correct?
Yes.
Thank you. And which is the best website for people to get hold of you if they're interested?
It's www.healingwiththearts. I just go on the website. All my personal contact information is there. I welcome anyone who wants to connect with me via the website, email, or even call me. I welcome everybody to make personal contact because I really believe in this work passionately. And whatever I can do to facilitate your journey to heal with the arts, I'm there for you.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being with us today. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
And please do stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
At Sundown Communications, we find that most of our clients are brilliant at what they do, but they lack the time and resources to write and create business messaging that delivers results. That's where we come in, providing a diverse range of professional copywriting services for fresh strategic web content, PR, advertising and promotion, marketing, speeches, and much more. Call us today so you can focus on what you do best, and we'll do the rest. Call 800-495-7617. That's 800-495-7617.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Bothell Feed Center, we cover the world of animals. This week, January 19th, Kevin McDonald and Kim Miller, medium and animal intuitive, host the show for me. They'll talk with Shauna Rosewood, relationship whisperer and author, about her book and upcoming events at East West Bookshop, then open phone lines so Kim can help you connect with your animal or human loved ones on this side or the other. Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Next week on Conversations Live, Joyce Chapman joins Vicki to continue the discussion of healing with the arts by exploring how journaling can help you go deeper into your inner knowing to heal and bring you joy. Hope you can join us every Monday at noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern, for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, right here on Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m. and 98.9 HD Channel 3. See conversationslive.net for upcoming show details and podcasts.
More than 100 million wild animals are killed each year illegally. Poaching is a major threat to our country's wildlife. I'm Tom Barry. I'm an actor with a desire to preserve living space for wildlife. The Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust does just that. Works with private landowners to protect wildlife, to preserve natural habitats. To learn more or to work with the Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust, call 800-729-SAVE. That's 800-729-SAVE or visit wildlifelandtrust.org. Thank you.
Hi, this is Vicki St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772.
You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to help you heal and stay healthy.
Stay informed with news, traffic, and weather at the top of the hour, weekdays on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Love those brand new views. And I'll fill you through and through.
And welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Well, the French daily Le Figaro calls my next guest an ambassador of France and its art of living. And the former chief executive at LVMH USA Today dubbed her as the high priestess of French lady wisdom. She is, of course, Mireille Giuliano, the author of the number one New York Times bestselling book, French Women Don't Get Fat. And apparently, they don't have facelifts either. Her new book is called French Women Don't Get Facelifts, The Secret of Aging with Style and Attitude. And Mireille has appeared on the Today Show, CBS, The Early Show, the NBC's Dateline, Oprah, CNN, among many, many national broadcasts. And she's been profiled in far too many national publications to list here, but they include the New York Times, USA Today, Time, Newsweek, People. The list goes on. She's also the author of French Women for All Seasons, Women, Work, and the Art of Savoir-Faire. And another book she authored is called The French Women Don't Get Fat Cookbook, which I know was very successful too. Busy lady, because I know that's not all she does. Mireille Giuliano, welcome to the show.
Well, hello, Vicki, and thank you for having me. It's a pleasure. I wish I could be in Seattle right now, but I'm not.
Never mind. We're glad that you're joining us, and I know that you're other books have done extremely well, especially your French Women Don't Get Fat. It became somewhat of an icon over here. This book is called French Women Don't Get Facelifts. And in your own words, you say it's actually a bit of a tease because it's not really about getting or not getting facelifts. So tell us what it is about and why you wrote it.
Well, it's like, you know, people who know me know that I don't take myself seriously. I think we should have fun in life. So I try to do that when I write. And between the stories and the tips, I think the book's done look too serious and make like a fun read, but also, more importantly, gives a lot of tips and tricks to women to deal with a particular subject. And both titles, of course, are a wink. Of course, there are a few women, French women who do get fat, and
right,
there are a few who do get facelifts. But generally speaking, we are not a land of facelifts.
Yeah.
Because of our culture, because of our history, and because we are an old country, so the youth culture is kind of not there yet. We believe that life starts at 50, and after that, we want to have the best of it. And if I can say one thing I've learned about researching this book and writing it, both for my readers and the people I meet who want more tips, and for myself, it's been a joyful ride. I love it.
Well, it was really interesting reading just the very beginning of the book because you said, you know, what you, the quote you just gave, the French have a saying that life begins at 50, which is awesome. You say that you discovered French women, according to surveys, are happiest between 65 and 70.
Yes.
And do you know why? And also least happiest between 25 and 50. So there's a gap in between where they're okay happy.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it certainly was true for me, but you don't realize it at the time. But life is just fantastic after 50. And, you know, the wrinkles are just a minor occurrence. And everybody goes through it. I mean, French or not French, we are all fragile. We are all aging. But it's not that important. You realize that there's so many much more important and much more joy to have in the world and to give that, my God, you know, just bend the mirror.
Right.
But actually the message of my book is the French attitude, which is actually look at yourself in the mirror and don't fool yourself trying to make believe that you're still 25 or act or dress like that, because just be realistic. And that's why I don't like this expression or title, Aging Gracefully, because, you know, I love to see when I'm in France and everywhere, couples over 80 dancing, mm-hmm. and they're impressive, they're charming, they have energy, but they're not graceful. And actually, graceful is not, when is the last time you heard someone saying, oh, she's graceful? Maybe an 18-year-old ballet student, but, you know.
Right.
The point is that energy is good, but you have to have attitude. And attitude in the French woman mind is self-acceptance. And it's a mindset, a strategy, if you will, a plan that requires a plan, which means action, action, action. Don't give it up. Don't believe what society tells you that, you know, you're old, you're this, you're that. Just look at yourself and try to see the little changes you can make to get, you know, another to look 5 or 10 years younger. And there are plenty of things you can do that are simple, inexpensive, and that I try to share with you via stories and anecdotes and facts, you know.
Yeah.
And so I make a joke about food lifts versus facelifts. I mean, give me some good food and something that would make me feel good and look good, and it works, you know.
Well, you were just saying before we came live how busy you are with the book coming out and being released in so many countries and chasing around after that and other things, mm-hmm. that, you know, thank goodness for yoga and thank goodness for yogurt and all these things,
yes.
that help keep you...
They really matter and they really,
yes.
make a huge difference.
Yeah. You know, just as an aside here, just I thought I'd share this because I read it in the book and I thought it was really interesting. It's not to be unexpected, I guess, that America leads the way in facelifts. But I was really surprised that China was number two. And if you,
yes.
look at a population as a whole, the percentage of the populace within a country, South,
yeah.
Korea
and
was
Korea,
number one.
Yes, but, you know, there it's a different issue altogether. And it's so sad, you know. We never happy with what we have. We always want what we can have. And I go to not as much to China, but to Japan, for example, where I have many friends and my books do very well. And I've always said, oh, you know, I would love to have these Japanese eyes, which are very similar to Asian eyes in general. And here, young women in these countries want to have Western eyes, so they get surgery.
Yeah.
Or they want to have Western nose. And it's like, I mean, you're beautiful. What are you kidding?
Yeah,
they start at very young age. It's totally absurd.
Yeah, I actually saw Julie Chan being interviewed the other day, and she said that she was told to get eyelid surgery if she wanted to work in television to make her look more Western. And I do think it's a shame because
yes.
it's
and
our differences.
You know, the thing is that it doesn't make you happier.
No,
I mean
it doesn't.
That's not the most important things in life. And yes, you know, we're all fragile. We all have our issues and our challenges. But my God, you know, you're giving a face and a body, and every woman has beauty in it. You just have to find what it is.
Yeah.
And most of the time, it comes not from the outside, but from the inside.
Well, we
know I can spot a happy woman, a bien dans sa peau, by seeing the radiance of her face, her smile, the way she looked at you, the way she speaks to you, the way she is with it and connected. I mean, that to me is beauty. And I talk to a lot of men, and they say, yeah, I'll take that. Anytime a woman who is like, you know, let herself go, is overweight, doesn't dress well because she feels she has to be casual or comfortable, but then, you know, she dresses horribly. And, you know, there are little things you can do to have a good appearance without torturing yourself.
All right,
but
well, we're going to talk about those.
What matters most, you know, because you can have the most beautiful dress and the most beautiful, you know, tight, face-looking features, if you're not comfortable in your skin, it will show, and you just won't have that kind of, you know, what the French call je ne sais quoi beauty, that charms, you know. And there are different kinds of beauty. There's
right.
a classic beauty, but there are lots of other beautiful women.
Right.
And
right.
we just have to search for it and
right.
do a little bit of homework. And, you know, knowing that self, thyself is one of the best thing. And I think that's why it takes a while, and it takes women who are mature, and that usually means at least, you know, 40 or 50 plus, to really see ourselves the way we are and to try to maintain good health for the next or for the second part of our life by making a few fine-tuning and a few changes that can make a huge difference and take 5 or 10 years of our life without going to the knife. You
know? All right. Well, when we come back, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, Mireille, I'm going to ask you to share a couple of your top tips here with us. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. My guest is the author of French Women Don't Get Facelifts, Mireille Giuliano. And we will be right back with you.
And loud. French style, what is it? Something sort of delicate. French style.
Looking for unconditional love, an exercise buddy, or a great listener? Paws has the dog or cat of your dreams, just waiting to meet you. We've made thousands of perfect matches since 1967, because everyone needs a warm, safe place to call home. Find out more today at paws.org or call 425-787-2500.
Next week on Conversations Live, Joyce Chapman joins Vicky to continue the discussion of healing with the arts by exploring how journaling can help you go deeper into your inner knowing to heal and bring you joy. Hope you can join us every Monday at noon Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern, for Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair, right here on Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m. and 98.9 HD Channel 3. See conversationslive.net for upcoming show details and podcasts.
You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair, talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate, making a difference, one word at a time.
Spread the word. Your favorite shows are on Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Mireille Giuliano is my guest in this segment. She's the author of French Women Don't Get Facelifts, The Secret of Aging with Style and Attitude. And I know from looking at photographs of you, Mireille, that you have beautiful style. So tell us a little bit about what style means to you.
Well, actually, you know, a lot of things is attitude to the French woman, and style is certainly, in my thinking, the manifestation of an attitude. And good shoes and a great haircut go a long way to make you look healthier and more attractive.
Which is exactly
because,
what our grandmothers told us.
It doesn't take to be a psychologist or psychiatrist to notice that people look at your hair first, then probably your eyes and your smile, and then your footwear.
Mm-hmm.
So your shoes don't have to be expensive, but it's funny, there are sales right now in Paris, and the number one item that sold, you know, the top in a world of recession in France is really going through a hard time. It's still shoes. So so make sure you wear, you know, comfortable and good fitted shoes after 50, and maybe not stilettos, but you can still find nice shoes and not go out in, you know, those rubber ugly sneakers or clogs.
You mean don't dress for comfort.
Unattractive.
Right, so don't dress for comfort. But what? Tell me your top two tips. If you could live with nothing else, if you could have nothing else but these two things, what would they be?
Oh, to me, it would be good nutrition. You know, the face-friendly foods. Facelift versus food lift.
Right.
Because I love to eat, and it has to be good, but it can be very simple. And movement, you know, yoga, meditation, walking, swimming, biking are things that to me have made a huge difference in my energy level, in my in what I call the trilogy of physical, mental, and psychological.
Right.
And these, you know, anyone can pick one or two of those and pick what's best for their lifestyle.
Right, right. In the back of the book, you talk about women who you think are aging with attitude. And thank you for including Queen Elizabeth II in there.
I think she's great.
She takes a lot of criticism, but boy, she's a
sparkly
lady. Yes, I agree with you. And of course, we had the Golden Globes here last night, and Meryl Streep is somebody else you included in that list. Why?
Yes.
Why do you include Meryl Streep? What is it about her? She's one of my favorite actresses.
Well, I think first of all because she's loved by the French the way Catherine Deneuve is loved by Americans, you know, she has a natural look, and she's a typical woman. You can see just by looking at her that she's bien dans sa peau, you know, comfortable in her skin.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very important. So I don't know what her secrets are, but I bet you she has a little bit of French woman in herself.
Right. And of course, you talk about Michelle Obama. You talk about Helen Mirren. She's another lady with attitude.
Yeah, she's amazing, you know. And she was named Body of the Year at 67.
Right.
And she really is the real thing, and she doesn't give a fig about, you know, the few wrinkles or the gray hair. And that's acceptance. That's an attitude.
Right. You talked, you've mentioned a couple of times food, nutrition for the face. What works best for you, have you found?
In terms of food?
Yes, yes.
Well, I would say, you know, the miracle of nutrition is a food that I'm trying to get Americans and a few other countries who have them but don't really eat them the way we French do, because we are the biggest eaters of oysters in the world. Oysters are a miracle of nutrition. They are like the perfect food for women and men. If you can have like 6 oysters twice a week, they have all the nutrients we need more of as we age. And they, you know, they are filled with omega-3, vitamin E, magnesium, zinc, potassium, and they're delicious. So I hope this, Seattle is a great place where you can get oysters.
Oh, yes, we have a lot of oysters here.
Do people eat them as often as they could or should? And, you know, in France, you make a meal. You go to a place, you have a dozen oysters, a piece of bread, some good salted butter, and then you have a fruit or you share an apple tart for dessert and have a glass of Chablis, and voila. It's a wonderful way to get your protein.
Mm. At the back of the book, you share your checklist. It's about 50 questions that periodically you just check in with yourself. You say it's really important, and you said this right at the beginning of the segment, it's really important to, when you look in the mirror, see yourself as you are now.
Yes.
Because, you know, we've all done this. I've gone past the mirror and caught some, you know, a glimpse of myself and thought, how did my mom get in there? You know, we don't kind of see ourselves aging. A couple of those are, you know, have I built sufficient movement into my life at this age?
Usually I would say no. Oh, you do the wrong movement, you know.
Right.
You don't have to torture yourself in a gym for 4 hours a day like Madonna or something, because we're all going to age. But you need to do something that maintain your balance, your posture. And walking is one of the best and least expensive movement. And that you can do, you know, where you want, how long you want, in the close of the day. And it's more than physical. It's mental. It's psychological. You know, if you're in the country, you look at nature. And if you're in a city, you see buildings, flowers, trees. So it's a very, very powerful part of a French woman, not only aging, but lifestyle.
Yeah. Well, I love the philosophy of aging with attitude. It's something I've always wanted to develop. And so maybe I can develop some more now I've read your book.
Yes. Well, you don't have to take all the tips. Just take, you know, start with 2 or 3 that are easy for you and that are convenient for your lifestyle, because that's the point. I'm not trying to say that we are better or we know more. We're just different. But each one of us is different. So this is a template. And you pick and choose, but there are plenty you can do, you know, from getting a short haircut, because as we age, our face shape changes, and maybe the long hair is not
so
anymore
flattering,
the most
right.
seductive part of us. So have it cut short and you'll be a new you. Or maybe it is doing more movement in your life and adding swimming or biking or meditation or what gives women after 50 tremendous energy and tremendous gratification and happiness is doing things for others, whether it's in a monetary kind, but also, you know, helping young people, mentoring them, being with people from different age groups and different mentality, and not to always be curious, to always be open-minded, to learn, to want to share. And that alone, you know, will keep you young.
I think that is one of the most critical statements, and it's a great note to end this segment on. Be curious. Stay curious about what's going on around you. Marie Giuliano, thank you so much for being with us. I know listeners can find out more about Marie's work at MarieGiuliano.com. Her book, latest book, is called French Women Don't Get Facelifts, The Secret of Aging with Style and Attitude. And it is full. I love the list at the back of the book, 50 questions to check in with yourself to see.
Yes, also I have a great website that's called FrenchWomenDon'tGetFat.com, where you will find tons of information from all my books and the French lifestyle in general.
Perfect. We have to run. We're right at the end of our program. Thanks for being with us, and thanks for listening and joining us today. You can reach me at conversationslive.net. Until next week, live well, live strong.
Hi, this is Vicky St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772.